this hour talking about these labor management councils and agencies has set up more than 600 councils where employee unions and management can address issues of concern, and another 600 are in the process of being created. Those councils laying the groundwork for more fruitful discussions between employee unions and management than the government has seen in almost a decade. And Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, he's right here with details about why federal officials believe these councils will take off in 2011. So let's start off with some background. We talk about these labor management councils, but I'm not sure everyone fully understands what these things are. What are federal labor management councils?
Well, President Obama signed an executive order in December 2009, creating actually these labor management forums to improve what he calls government services across the whole spectrum of agencies. There is the National Council of Federal Labor Management Relations, which includes OPM Director John Barry and OMB Deputy Director for Management Jeff Zients as the co-chairman, as well as several agency deputy secretaries and presidents of major employee unions, as well as associations representing federal managers, the Federal Managers Association, right, to name one. Now, what this group does, they kind of look at these councils more broadly, and then each agency creates one or more, and we'll talk about that in a sec, councils to develop bargaining units and management and bring
them
closer together.
Sub-councils underneath them?
In some ways. I mean, they're called councils, but yes. The way to think of it is there's this big national one, and right, there's a bunch of little smaller ones. John Barry is the director of the Office of Personnel Management.
Over 1,231 individual partnership initiatives that are out there that will be making a difference in terms of improving service to the taxpayer and increasing our performance across the government. And so I think it is a credit and a testament to everybody at this table for the hard work in smoothing out the administrative details to allow that to get airborne as well as it has this year.
So over the last year, they've been working to get these councils up and going, and so far the Defense Department has 248 councils in place, and another almost 500 in the process of being created.
Wow.
The veterans.
So 500 councils, they must get really specific.
Exactly. They get down to the base level, the command level, the office level, because remember, you have bargaining units. It's based on union bargaining units. And so like VA, for instance, the Veterans Affairs Department has 173 in place and another 93 in the process.
Wow.
And the Homeland Security Department has 44 in place. So if you think about Homeland Security, they're represented by multiple unions, National Treasury Employees Union, the AFGE, American Federation of Government Employees, and then you probably have a bunch of smaller unions like Customs Border Protection may have a separate union for Border Patrol officers.
So,
and each of those can develop councils to work more closely with management.
Wow. And I've heard and I've seen people talking about that they're fairly optimistic about what these councils might be able to accomplish, particularly in 2011. Why?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. First off, John Barry from OPM and OMB's Jeff Zients say agencies spent really most of 2010 laying the groundwork and dealing with the administrative issues in getting these councils in place. So there's a lot of that background work. Mm-hmm. Get it going. Secondly, I think several already having some success. Tim Curry works for the Defense Department on labor relations issues and led the working group, which surveyed 51 agencies which set up these labor management councils. He said 19 agencies responded to the survey detailing early successes.
They worked together to develop their baseline assessment that all forms are working on to establish as they start to work towards evaluating their form successes and their metrics. Improved communication. That's a common one that we've seen in the past. Reduction in number of formal negotiation, reduction in time to negotiate, and of course, they gave specific examples of issues that they've worked on, agency performance management system, space, telework, work-life, and employee orientation.
And finally, Zients and Barry issued a memo today giving agencies some guidance around how to conduct conversations around pre-decisional information. There's Meg Beasley, who's working on the web story for today, our colleague, and I were a little confused because they kept calling it a pre-decisional memo.
Right.
And pre-decisional, as you
usually
all know,
you don't see those.
You don't see those.
Right.
So, but it took us to both of us, we read the memo finally, and said, oh, it's pre-decisional information. It's a memo on pre-decisional information. Mm-hmm. So now this has been an issue that has garnered a lot of attention from both sides because of the how complicated it is when can you actually talk about pre-decisional information?
Yeah.
And in fact, Barry says the memo has been in the works for almost the last year.
Jeff and I have wrestled mightily to accommodate, I think, the core essentials, and I believe we have the guidance memo in a place that where no one is doing cartwheels, no one is pulling their hair out. So I think we have threaded the needle appropriately, and I think the key point to remember is that obviously the executive order is itself the guiding document. This guidance is a supplement. It does not in any way supersede or replace the executive order. So it is an attempt to build upon and offer some guidance and advice and counsel, recognizing that each of these partnerships has to find their own unique way on these challenging issues, but that we can do a very powerful job together on it.
Now, not everything was perfect in 2010, even though I think Director Barry and Deputy Director Zients would like maybe people to think so.
Yeah.
There are several questions about just what is the total number of councils that could be set up? While 1,200 sounds impressive, what's that, what they call the denominator? 1,200 out of how many?
Right.
And no one could answer. One federal official that I talked to at the meeting estimated that it could be about 2,500, he thought. But again, no one's really done the research to say, yes, it's 2,500 or 50,000. They just don't know. Another sign that the councils have not taken off, like Barry and Zients say, is they have the third survey question that Curry ran talked about barriers. And he says they heard from 11 agencies on what roadblocks they're running into.
Lack of time and resources available. That's something I think I'd like to explore a little bit further. That was something that is part of the implementation plan that the groups committed to devoting resources. So we'll go back and look and see if there's something we can do to assist them there. History of your relationship and trust. And that's probably where the help of FLRA and FMCS training will be really beneficial to folks to kind of break down those barriers if they've had a relationship in the past that has, you know, maybe communication issues. And certainly difficulty in scheduling meetings, trying to get everybody together in the same room at the same time is basically one of the barriers we've heard.
Now, William Duggan is the president of the National Federation of Federal Employees, and he says the barriers actually show more of a lack of compliance among some agencies. Duggan says the National Council needs to have some sort of stick to go with the carrot for agencies who don't comply with the executive order. Now, obviously, that was agreed upon by several other union representatives saying, okay, well, what happens if they just don't go follow through with it? Because by saying, oh, we don't have the time or we don't have the resources, well, this is an executive order. It's a presidential priority. You need to get this stuff done. So John Barry says there's a couple of things that unions and employees can do to ensure that the councils are indeed a high enough priority, including letting himself, John Barry, or Jeff Zients know about it and bring it to the attention of the National Council more privately. He said the last thing we want to do is actually go public with this and necessarily embarrass people. But obviously, that's the last resort option.
Right. So they always say you get what you measure. How is the National Council for Federal Labor Management Relations going to actually measure how effective these councils are?
They've had a working group developing metrics for over the last year to really deal with the impacts. Agencies have three deadlines over the next year to report on how they're using those metrics. First of all, agencies identified issues, goals, metrics for reporting a baseline by last December 31st. So they already have set up these metrics.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Fillers is the director of public services for the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and he led the metrics working group.
We wanted to highlight the very important deadline of March 31st, not only to report back on what metrics the forums will use, but especially for those that are involved in B1 pilots. So that March 31 date is important for those two reasons. Later in the year, in September, we're looking for a progress report, both again from the forums in general against the performance measures that they have selected, as well as the B1 pilots to see how they're progressing. Where we differ is at the end of the year, we will have, a year-end closeout from the forums, but not until March of 2012 will we get a final report from the B1 pilots.
Now, you heard Filler mention the B1 pilots several times.
Right.
More than 15 agencies and 12,000 federal employees are a part of this test with employee unions and management to really negotiate on issues that traditionally they don't negotiate on. So B1 pilots are really a subsection of the issues the agency-specific councils will look at.
So and issues only, they don't normally negotiate on would be things like what?
For instance, telework may pop in there. Mm-hmm. Maybe not every negotiating agreement has a telework agreement. Now, many do, but we can use that as one.
Right.
It may be a flexible work schedule. It could be several different things.
So anything that's not covered under a collective bargaining agreement.
Currently,
yeah.
Correct. And now, a lot of agencies have had ability to do B-1 bargaining before. Very few have used it. The pilots are trying to really get more people to use it. But think of it as it's one piece of what the council will look at, not the entire thing. Barry added that the metrics for the councils, as well as the B-1 pilots, will be one of the key ways to measure how performance across government is improving. The metrics working group will continue to meet throughout the year and discuss best practices that are emerging or pass along lessons learned that the councils who are ahead of a pack are really seeing. There were two other issues that came up during the National Council meeting today, telework and training. Let me start with training. The Federal Labor Relations Authority and the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Services are offering training and mediators to help facilitate the creation of these councils. So far, more than 100 agencies have asked for help in creating the councils, and actually there are 50 more requests in the pipeline. So there's a lot of movement, a lot of interest in these things. And to be honest, in an effort to deal with the growing demand, because the FRLA and the FCMS really are not that large, they're actually going to begin training the trainers within the agencies. So people who have maybe gone through this once can help others in their agencies go through it when the union management issues are pretty simple to go through. I don't think it's ever really simple, but it's more straightforward.
Nothing simple.
If it's more complex, that's when the facilitator from the real expert comes in and really helps out. So that's something that's also agencies should be on the lookout for. Now, finally, the National Council also created a telework working group, and they have met four times over the last month and a half or so. And actually, there was some discussion whether we should continue the working group, whether they shouldn't, and they decided to continue it, but focus on the implementation of the telework law that the president signed in December. Now, despite all these councils and all the work that's being done, I talked to one union official at the meeting today, and he commented that he wasn't really, and one of the things I said to him was, you weren't real vocal this time. And his response was, well, we really have a lot of bigger things to worry about. And I thought that was really telling, because there's a lot of concern, I think, that lawmakers are going to try to slip in, whether it's furloughs or hiring freezes or other benefit cuts to federal employees as we get closer to a year-long CR or an omnibus spending bill that's going to come around in March. In fact, that union president told me there's an expected meeting this Friday of all union presidents to discuss concerns and plans and about this potential changes that lawmakers are working on and what the unions can do about them. So it's a very interesting kind of, we have on one hand this really positive event, councils are meeting, but there's a big concern, I think, on all these presidents' union shoulders about
it has to be the pink elephant sitting in the middle of that room.
And I said, well, why don't you just bring this up? And he basically said, what good it would have done.
Right. These are not the deciders. The deciders are on the other end of Capitol Hill at least at this point in time.
Exactly. And even though we have to remember that the House is, controlled by the Republicans, the Senate, and obviously the executive branch are not. So nothing's ever a done deal. And obviously the unions tend to more support the Democrats. So just because the House has a bill, slip something in the CR, it's not guaranteed, though this union official was not real optimistic.
It seems like, and we talked a little bit about measurement of these things. How do you actually measure whether anything has happened? Do they have an overall scope of what they'd like? I mean, if everything goes as planned, what would they accomplish out of these things come a year from now?
Well, everybody's different. So each agency has different needs. Each mission has different needs. So on one hand, there's this overall kind of umbrella of metrics. And then there's specific metrics based on what each agency or what each council wants to accomplish.
Right.
So it's not, they're not trying to do a one size fits all.
And it sounds, I mean, when you talked about DOD having 248 councils, currently another 498, almost 500 planned, that sounds really difficult to manage.
Well, the interesting thing is they're not necessarily managing each one.
Okay.
There's not one person saying, I'm going to manage all 800 of these. Each council is an entity within itself who then has to report back up to DOD, who then reports back up to the council, the national council.
So there's some structure to it that
absolutely
it's not. So I referred to them sort of as sub, but that's not exactly the way it works.
Right. And it's easy to think that way just because of how things kind of lay out. But what the idea is, what do we need to negotiate on? What are some of the things that we haven't negotiated on in the past? What are some of the things, how can we, because one of the frustrations that the union representatives have had in the past, especially under the Bush administration, is decisions would be made and then the unions would be brought in versus what the Obama administration, I think, is trying to do is, and that's why this pre-decisional memo, is do a little more collaboration up front. So the unions may not agree with every decision they make, but at least they'll have their say before a decision is actually made or three quarters made.
Yeah.